The Wish. Under the palm of one hand, the child became aware of the scab of an old cut on his kneecap. He bent forward to examine it closely. A scab was always a fascinating thing. It presented a special challenge he was never able to resist. Yes, he thought, I will pick it off, even if it isn't ready, even if the middle of it sticks, even if it hurts like anything. With a fingernail, he began to explore cautiously around the edges of the scab. He got a nail underneath it, and when he raised it, but ever so slightly, it suddenly came off. The whole hard brown scab came off beautifully, leaving an interesting little circle of smooth red skin. Nice, very nice indeed. He rubbed the circle, and it didn't hurt. He picked up the scab, put it on his thigh, and flipped it with a finger so that it flew away and landed on the edge of the carpet, the enormous red and black and yellow carpet that stretched the whole length of the hall from the stairs on which he sat to the front door in the distance. A tremendous carpet, bigger than the tennis lawn, much bigger than that. He regarded it gravely, setting his eyes upon it with mild pleasure. He had never really noticed it before, but now, all of a sudden, the colours seemed to brighten mysteriously and spring out at him in a most dazzling way. You see, he told himself, I know how it is. The red parts of the carpet are red-hot lumps of coal. What I must do is this. I must walk all the way along it to the front door without touching them. If I touch the red, I will be burnt. As a matter of fact, I will be burnt up completely. And the black parts of the carpet? Yes, the black parts are snakes, poisonous snakes, adders mostly, and cobras, thick like tree trunks round the middle. And if I touch one of them, I'll be bitten and I'll die before tea time. And if I get across safely, without being burnt and without being bitten, I will be given a puppy for my birthday tomorrow. He got to his feet and climbed higher up the stairs to obtain a better view of this vast tapestry of colour and death. Was it possible? Was there enough yellow? Yellow was the only colour he was allowed to walk on. Could it be done? This was not a journey to be undertaken lightly. The risks were far too great for that. The child's face, a fringe of white gold hair, two large blue eyes, a small pointed chin, peered down anxiously over the banisters. The yellow was a bit thin in places, and there were one or two widish gaps, but it did seem to go all the way along to the other end. For someone who had only yesterday triumphantly travelled the whole length of the brick path from the stables to the summer house without touching the cracks, this carpet thing should not be too difficult. Except for the snakes. The mere thought of snakes sent a fine electricity of fear running like pins down the backs of his legs and under the soles of his feet. He came slowly down the stairs and advanced to the edge of the carpet. He extended one small sandaled foot and placed it cautiously upon a patch of yellow. Then he brought the other foot up, and there was just enough room for him to stand with the 2 feet together. There! He had started. His bright oval face was curiously intent, a shade whiter perhaps than before, and he was holding his arms out sideways to assist his balance. He took another step, lifting his foot high over a patch of black, aiming carefully with his toe for a narrow channel of yellow on the other side. When he had completed the second step, he paused to rest, standing very stiff and still. The narrow channel of yellow ran forward unbroken for at least 5 yards, and he advanced gingerly along it, bit by bit, as though walking a tightrope. Where it finally curled off sideways, he had to take another long stride, this time over a vicious-looking mixture of black and red. Halfway across, he began to wobble. He waved his arms around wildly, windmill fashion, to keep his balance, and he got across safely and rested again on the other side. He was quite breathless now, and so tense he stood high on his toes all the time, arms out sideways, fists clenched. He was on a big, safe island of yellow. There was lots of room on it. He couldn't possibly fall off, and he stood there resting, hesitating, waiting, wishing he could stay forever on this big, safe yellow island. But the fear of not getting the puppy compelled him to go on. Step by step, he edged further ahead, and between each one he paused to decide exactly where he should put his foot. Once he had a choice of ways, either to left or right, and he chose the left because although it seemed the more difficult, there was not so much black in that direction. The black was what had made him nervous. He glanced quickly over his shoulder to see how far he had come. Nearly halfway. There could be no turning back now. He was in the middle, and he couldn't turn back, and he couldn't jump off sideways either because it was too far. And when he looked at all the red and all the black that lay ahead of him, he felt that old, sudden, sickening surge of panic in his chest. Like last Easter time, that afternoon when he got lost all alone in the darkest part of Piper's Wood. He took another step, placing his foot carefully upon the only little piece of yellow within reach, and this time the point of the foot came within a centimetre of some black. It wasn't touching the black. He could see it wasn't touching. He could see the small line of yellow separating the toe of his sandal from the black. But the snake stirred as though sensing his nearness, and raised its head and gazed at the foot with bright, beady eyes, watching to see if it was going to touch.
"I'm not touching you. You mustn't bite me. You know I'm not touching you."
Another snake slid up noiselessly beside the first, raised its head, two heads now, two pairs of eyes staring at the foot, gazing at a little naked place just below the sandal strap where the skin showed through. The child went high up on his toes and stayed there, frozen stiff with terror. It was minutes before he dared to move again. The next step would have to be a really long one. There was this deep, curling river of black that ran clear across the width of the carpet, and he was forced by his position to cross it at its widest part. He thought first of trying to jump it, but decided he couldn't be sure of landing accurately on the narrow band of yellow on the other side. He took a deep breath, lifted one foot, and inch by inch he pushed it out in front of him, far, far out, then down and down, until at last the tip of his sandal was across and resting safely on the edge of the yellow. He leaned forward, transferring his weight to his front foot. Then he tried to bring the back foot up as well. He strained and pulled and jerked his body, but the legs were too wide apart and he couldn't make it. He tried to get back again. He couldn't do that either. He was doing the splits and he was properly stuck. He glanced down and saw this deep, curling river of black underneath him. Parts of it were stirring now, and uncoiling and beginning to shine with a dreadfully oily glister. He wobbled, waved his arms frantically to keep his balance, but that seemed to make it worse. He was starting to go over. He was going over to the right. Quite slowly, he was going over, then faster and faster, and at the last moment, instinctively, he put out a hand to break the fall. And the next thing he saw was this bare hand of his going right into the middle of a great glistening mass of black, and he gave one piercing cry as it touched.
Outside in the sunshine, far away behind the house, the mother was looking for her son.
This recording was produced and published by Penguin Books Limited.